I am a Christian and my name is Pilgrim. I'm on a journey, but I'm not alone. Jesus is with me and he goes before me and his love surrounds me. He's leading me home.
One step at a time for now. Just keep your feet on the ground. Don't lose your way chasing the crowd. Here's where your road begins. Don't stop, don't settle here. Just tell yourself there's something more than this.
Just tell yourself there's something more than this.
Everybody say,
I am a Christian and my name is Pilgrim. I'm on a journey, but I'm not alone. Jesus is with me and he goes before me. And his love surrounds me.
Walk on, walk on, walk on, walk on.
Head high, keep your eyes above. Don't think of giving up. He brought you this far, he won't stop now. Don't ever run away, no matter what you face. Don't be afraid, cause he will not back down.
Yeah, remind yourself with you now
and say,
I am a Christian and my name is Pilgrim. I'm on a journey, but I'm not alone. Jesus is with me and he goes before me and his love surrounds me. He's leading me home.
Walk on, walk on, walk on. Walk on, traveler, walk on, walk on, walk on, walk on, Christian, walk
on in your weakness, walk on through the night, walk on through the darkness till you see the light. Remember who's with you, remember he's strong. And when you are weary, he'll carry you on. Walk on in your weakness, walk on through the night. Walk on in the darkness till you see the light. Remember who's with you, remember he's strong. And when you are weary, he'll carry you on.
Everybody say,
I am a Christian. My name is Pilgrim. I'm on a journey, but I'm not alone. Jesus is with me, and he goes before me, and his love surrounds me. He's leading me home.
Walk on, walk on, walk on, walk on, walk on, walk on.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Well, welcome to Cornerstone. Welcome to this service. Welcome live stream, those of you who are with us online. We're talking about hope today. So I know there's a lot of us who need that. There are a lot of us who are facing hard stuff. So we're going to talk about that, and we're going to cling to some hope, some really, really essential hope. So whatever it is you're walking through, walk on, and hopefully this morning can be encouraging to you in whatever you're facing. And I'm going to share with you a scripture from Isaiah 43. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. We're going to cling to some pretty essential truths this morning. And so right now we're going to sing about living hope. Would you rise to your feet as we sing this next one?
Great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could
before you, the one who won the victory. Because of what Jesus did, death has no grip on me. It's lost its power. And God, we are so, so thankful for Jesus, our living hope. God, we have so much purpose and so much hope because of Jesus' resurrection. God, I just pray that you'll fill us with that hope, because we go through stuff that makes us forget. We go through stuff that eclipses the truth that we know. And so, Lord, I pray that you will remove the shadows today, that you will blow away the darkness and allow us to see you in your glory, to see the hope that we have, the promises that we have that are sure in Jesus. God, some of us are struggling and hurting, so you know each of those specific things that are messing with us. And Lord, I just pray that your truth will just kind of crowd those things out, that your truth will win the day today in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, it's been good to sing already. We're not going to have you sit down yet. We're going to let the kids head downstairs. They've got some special stuff for them, ages third grade and under. And so we got that for, yeah, go ahead, Dean. That's whatever you identify as. I mean, if you're a four-year-old, sorry, scratch that from the recording. We have a question of the day. Let's just go to that. What is something you're looking forward to this holiday season? As the kids are being dismissed, why don't you share that with somebody near you?
All righty. It's good to have things to look forward to. I hope you do have things you're looking forward to over the next month plus. Good to see you guys here today. We have, the last couple of weeks, we have had guests here from years gone by. So I won't highlight who that is, but she's up in the third row. So if you want to say hi to her, she was a college student way back in the day. But anyway, I hope you have things you're looking forward to. Because, man, our world is in a state of chaos right now. There's so much stuff going on. Global tension, political turmoil, economic unrest. There's just crazy stuff going on. And so our world is full of confusion, division, chaos, and pain. And I'm pretty sure that's not just out there kind of stuff. It's in here too. And as a pastor, like, I know some of your pain. I know some of the struggles and issues that you're wrestling with and battling with. And I could talk for a long time about the hardships being faced by people in this church family right now. Life is hard. Sometimes it's harder than others. So to glean the most out of our passage and God's word today, I want you to think about what is making life hard for you in this moment. Not the fact that you're sitting here listening to me preach, but this moment of your life, okay? I know. I hope I don't cause you too much pain by preaching. But what's making life hard for you in this moment? Seriously. Because there's a lot in this church family. Some of you are on live stream and you're going through hard things. I mean, I listed about five things for me that make life hard, and there's varying degrees, right? There's varying degrees. One of them I'll just share with you. It's not a huge one, but it's been stressful for me this week. There were two books that were brought to the attention of the Kutztown School Board of concern. And so when someone in the community brings concerning resources to the school board, they have a policy to put together a committee to talk about these resources and decide what to do. Are they right? Do we pull these off the shelves? What are we supposed to do with this? They asked me to be on that committee. And it's not a surprise to me that I might be in the minority with my views on the things that are discussed in these books. And so they asked me, and I had to basically process immediately, what am I going to do? And it didn't take me long to say, yes, I will do it. I will do it, but this is going to be awkward, and this might be hard, and this might be stressful. So this week, part of my week was spending a couple hours reading these books. What's in them? And that was a little bit disrupting to my soul. And then the next day, there was this meeting. And I got to be part of about 12 to 14 people talking about the content of these books. And it was awkward, and it was stressful. It wasn't a bad meeting. There was no one who was angry or irritable or not listening. Like, we could all share what our views were, but it was stressful. And you know, looking back, you know, some of you might be thinking, like, why didn't you just decline? Why don't you step out? It would be easier. It would have been a lot easier on my week to say, no thanks, let somebody else do it. So why didn't I just turn that down? That's not on my job description as a pastor. Nobody said I have to do that. Well, the reason I can't do that is because God intends us to be engaged in our community. And I was given that invitation, and so I stepped into it. And in my answer, I said, I will step into the ring with you on this. Like, not that we're going to fight about it, but it was stressful. And after that meeting on Tuesday, I just needed some clear my head time. I walked up on Buffalo Hill. It was a beautiful day. The buffalo were out, and I just stood there watching the buffalo. And I began to imagine how glorious it would be to bear the stress load of a buffalo and to stand in the sun eating grass all day. My goodness, that was just appealing to me until I remembered the buffalo meat on sale for the down at the bottom of the hill. Maybe I don't want to do that. But life is hard for all of us in different ways. What's making life hard for you right now? Our journey through the New Testament has taken us to the book of 1 Peter. And we if you're following it, you would have finished 1 Peter and read 2 Peter this week. The book of 1 Peter, this is a letter to a scattered group of believers who are facing suffering on a bunch of different levels. And the purpose of his letter is to support them in their suffering. And so I feel like this is very relevant for our church with the personal, individual sufferings that we are facing. And there's a whole bunch of different ones. And some of you are connected to multiple levels of these, and some of you, it's just yours, and it's overwhelming. But both then and now, for Peter's audience and us today, we need handles for when life is hard. And 1 Peter gives us some really great spiritual handles to help us. And one of those most important handles is hope. We've got to have hope. And we have to have the right hope. And so I'm gonna read 1 Peter 1, 3 to 5. And I want you to think about and look for what words communicate hope in these verses. I'm going to ask you to tell me what words speak hope to you as in these three verses, okay? So I'm going to ask for some feedback. That's a heads up, right? So I'm going to read, where do you find hope? 1 Peter 1, 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. There you have it. What words speak hope to you? Mercy. Mercy. What else? Shielded. Yes. Inheritance. Resurrection. Guarded. Anything else? Salvation. Revealed. Heaven. There's so many hope-filled words in these three verses, aren't there? I want to just kind of slow down and look at what is in here. What do we have? He starts out Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So not just praise Jesus for what he's done, praise the Father of Jesus, because it's his great mercy, the Father's great mercy, that he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. So his great mercy, I think that was the first word that was shared, his mercy, his great mercy. Man, we need the mercy of God, don't we? When life gets hard, keep your specific heavy in mind. When life gets hard, we need to remember we worship a God who is filled with mercy. This is the nature of God. He is filled with mercy. Ephesians 2:4 says he is rich in mercy. He is rich in mercy, and he shares it. So praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because in our pain, he gives us mercy. Some of you know what that's like. And by his mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So think about that phrase, new birth. He's given us a new birth. I love how the Bible uses that phrase, born again, as a way to describe our reconciliation with God. And born again is, I mean, it's kind of a phrase that was sort of overused for a while, but man, we need this. What does it mean, born again, right? Nicodemus asked the question, I don't understand. Jesus said nobody can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. And you're probably familiar with the phrase, probably heard it before, but to really grasp it, it helps to think, this is a spiritual concept, and we need to think about the physical counterpart to really understand it, right? So what is physical birth? Think about physical birth. It's our entrance into this physical world. And I heard from two friends this week that had a baby. Two people that I know had a healthy baby this week. Think about what would a baby's first week of life be like? The first time you see light, the first time you touch the flesh of your mother and feel that, the first time you're diapers changed, like the cold, the warm, like all these different experiences, it's got to be kind of traumatic. You've been like nestled up in this warm little ball for 9 months, and now all of a sudden, man, everything is colder and everything is brighter, and this is physical birth, right? To be born again is to be brought into a different kind of world, another world. A spiritual world. The kingdom of God is what Jesus says. This is a different world. It's a world of spiritual depth, spiritual life, a world where we get to experience peace in a way we've never experienced before, where a different level of joy is available, where there's hope, where we are loved by God. Taken from this, just the strictly physical, taken into this physical world where God is. That's born again. So how important is it that a person is born again? It's more important than that a child is born into the world. Because born again lasts forever. The spiritual world is forever. How important is it that a person is born again? It's pretty important. It's just about everything when it comes to eternity. So if Jesus said, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How do we get born again? And you could answer that question probably, but we want to think about it again. We're thinking about hope in the midst of crazy, heavy, hard things that we're facing. How do we get born again? Well, first we have to admit that we're not yet in the kingdom of God. I'm not yet in the kingdom of God before I'm born again. Nobody starts out in the kingdom of God. The society and culture, a lot of them believe that everybody's fine with God and maybe we can mess things up and make it worse, but everybody starts out on a clean slate with God. But that's not the case. We're born outside of God's kingdom, separated from God. And that's a problem. That's a really big problem. We got a whole lot to be nervous about if we're on the outside of God's kingdom, because sin separates us from God. We got to admit we're not yet in the kingdom of God. Second thing, we got to believe that Jesus came to deal with our sin by becoming a sacrifice on our behalf. And this is review for most of you, but maybe for some of you, you're thinking about this for the first time. Jesus came to deal with our problem. His death on the cross paid the penalty for my sin, made forgiveness possible. Essentially, Jesus busted out a doorway in the wall of the kingdom so we could come back in. That's what his death did. There's a new doorway through Jesus. Before that, it was a wall. We can come in now. But the third thing, we've got to step through that door, right? We got to choose to place personal faith in Jesus, that his sacrifice was for me, that his sacrifice was for you. Choosing to place personal faith in Jesus. Recognize Jesus is not just the King of Kings, he's my King. And I receive him as my King. And when that happens, the power of God is activated in our lives. This is the moment when we are born again. Our sin is cleansed. Our shame is taken care of. We are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We're adopted as God's child and given a permanent place in the kingdom of God. This is what it means to be born again. This is essential. And there may be people here in this room, people watching online that have not yet been born again. And I would just ask you, what in the world is stopping you? This is incredible news. This is an awesome deal. And here's how this connects with the suffering that we face here in the physical world. By being born into another world, we have a new perspective. We have a new set of benefits that can't be touched, that can't be taken away by the physical world. The physical world can hurt us in a lot of ways. But the benefits we have by being born again, it cannot touch. And that's where we find hope. These things will last, maybe until I die. But that's not the end. There's so much more. So we gotta hold on to this hope, this truth. Living hope, Peter says. This is one of these phrases. Living hope. That's important. In his great mercy, he's given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. So it's because of Jesus' resurrection that those who've been born again have living hope. He rose from the dead. He showed us death doesn't have power over him or his people anymore. So we can be born again, we have living hope because of the resurrection. It all goes back to that. So all the songs that we sing, they just all kind of keep tying back to that. We got to keep singing about the resurrection, about the resurrection, about the resurrection, because that's where we find hope. And isn't it in times of suffering that we need hope the most? Isn't it times of suffering that we start to, our hope tank runs low? Going through suffering is like pulling the plug out of a bathtub. And you can keep the water running, but the water level keeps going down, right? Depending on what kind of suffering you're going through, man, it is spiritually and physically draining. It is exhausting to go through suffering. Those times when we're asking why? And we have people right now who are going through heavy stuff asking why? And sometimes as it continues to linger on, we stop waiting for an answer. And we really run low on hope. Peter's audience was going through a lot. And he gives us a hint right up front in the first chapter, verse 6. He says, in this, the gospel that he's just describing to us, that we just talked about all these hope words, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. It doesn't tell us what they are, but they're going through all kinds of trials. That's what he's addressing. He's giving them hope in those trials. Verse 7, he says, these have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, so your faith may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Some of you are going through some heavy stuff right now. Peter knows what his audience needs most. Peter knows what this audience needs most. We don't need our pain to be taken away. We need hope. We need hope. Living hope. So what is living hope? How does it help us when we're suffering? What are we talking about? If you read verses 4 and 5, which we did read already, they're going to give some clarity on that. I'm going to get to that in a second. But before we go there, just think about this, how in verse 3, living hope is linked to Jesus' resurrection. They are connected concepts. Living hope and the resurrection are connected. And when hope is linked to resurrection, we're talking about the right kind of hope, right? We can have all different kinds of hope. When hope is linked to the resurrection, that changes our perspective on the physical world we live in. It changes it. When we have real living hope, it changes how we look at what we're going through. In what way? I'll give you three things. Living hope in a dying world. It reveals death as a finish line, but it's not the end. Death is a finish line, but it's not the end. This is what living hope does, linked to the resurrection. Living hope in a dying world promises purpose in the struggle. The pain we face here is not arbitrary. There is a God who's overseeing all of it. He is good. He cares. He's in the middle of it with us. The physical life that we suffer in, this is not everything. And when this life ends, it's not over. There's more. There's more. So we can understand there's more going on that we can't see. Which is really the third thought. Living hope in a dying world unveils to us that there is more than this. We need to know there's more than this. Can't see the spiritual world, but we know it's there. So Jesus' resurrection, as familiar as we are with it, this is an anchor for us when we're struggling, and it gives us confidence that God's promises are true. So this opening paragraph of 1 Peter, essentially Peter is saying, when your world turns into chaos, which I know you're going through all kinds of things right now, life is really hard. You're not sure where to turn. Hold on to this hope you have in Jesus, in his resurrection. I know you're suffering, but it's not going to last. God is using it to test and refine your faith. So hold on. It's going to get better. This is a promise. This is the gist of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 9. There's so much hope here that we need to turn back to and back to and back to, because we go through a plethora of hard things through life. And if you look more closely at verses 4 and 5, Peter's going to give us two specific benefits of living hope. What is he talking about? What does this living hope give us? Because of God's mercy, we're given new birth into living hope, which is really a promise of two things: an eternal inheritance in heaven and God's protection till we get there. And these are some of the words that you shared earlier: an eternal inheritance in heaven and God's protection till we get there. And I want to look at both of those ideas, those promises, one at a time. So start with this eternal inheritance in heaven. We're familiar with this. We know about heaven. We don't really know what it's like, but we have some ideas. What does he say in verse 4? He talked about this living hope through the resurrection and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. I love that he describes it as an inheritance. We know what an inheritance is. You may have an inheritance coming. You may not have an inheritance coming, depending on your parents. But we have an inheritance coming. And this is some inheritance. You've been born again into the spiritual world of God's kingdom. This inheritance cannot be taken from you. The limitations of our physical bodies, when we think about our inheritance, it becomes almost meaningless. The hardship and struggle we face, that's going to be over. That's going to be gone. It will never perish, spoil, or fade. It's not attached to the physical world we live in, or the weaknesses that go along with it, the struggles that we face. And Bible Knowledge Commentary, I like the way that they put it. I'll just put a quote up here on the screen for you. It says, a Christian's inheritance cannot be destroyed by hostile forces. It will not spoil like overripened fruit, or fade in color like old furniture. Our inheritance is very different from physical things we imagine. It's indestructible. It's being preserved in heaven for us as we speak. This is an inheritance that gives us hope. It's also this inheritance word. It's the same word that ancient Israel used for the promised land. their inheritance. They were looking forward to that land, that physical place that they waited hundreds of years to get to. It's the same word. And so we can kind of think back to that, how they longed for that and how God gave that to them eventually, as kind of a picture of what we're longing for. We're waiting for the promised land. There's a lot of waiting that we have to do. There's a lot of stuff we have to go through before we get there. But it's coming. And it's not something we wonder, is it really real? We've got the resurrection handle to remind us, yeah, it's real. Jesus rose from the dead. And then you connect that idea of being born again into this idea of inheritance. To be born again means you've been brought into the family. You're listed in the will. When that will is dispensed, when that will is brought forth, your name is there. And the inheritance is for you. How important is it that we are born again? Having hope beyond the grave is so important, especially when we're going through hard stuff. Because some of our hard stuff, we don't know. It might last our entire lives until we die. Some of those things. Somebody goes through a divorce, and that pain, that separation, not likely coming back together. But that pain will be over one day. There's so many things like that, that they may be with us for a very long time. That pain may last until we die, but it will not last beyond when we die. And there's no reincarnation. There's no starting over. There's no, let's try it again. There's a, I die here and I'm with Jesus in heaven. There's a lot of ideas out there, but there's one guy who rose from the dead said, this is the idea, guys. This is how it really is. That's why we believe this. Not because we live in America, not because there were pilgrims who came across and told us these things, because Jesus rose from the dead. That's why this is the authority we believe. And that's hope. And when we're going through hard stuff, we need to cling to this hope. I got permission to share just a couple of examples. People in our church who've really needed this at certain times. Matt and Tiffany, they needed this hope. They didn't get to know their son Alex here in this world. They saw him. They saw him very briefly. But they are confident that they will see him in a very different state in heaven. They're confident about that. Ed and Joyce would be in a very different place if they didn't have living hope that their daughter Amy is with her resurrected Savior. They would have a very different way of processing. The hope that we have, it doesn't take away the pain, but it certainly helps. How important is it that we're born again? We don't always have this kind of hope. These are some good, positive, helpful examples of this confident hope when we lose someone we love, but sometimes we don't have that hope because not everyone is born again. And when we lose somebody, we're not sure if they were born again, we have to cling to a different kind of hope, the mercy of God. We've got to cling to the mercy of God and entrust that person to him, to his care, praying that God's mercy reached them before they passed. It's out of our control. It's out of our hands, but we leave them with him and trust in his mercy that and pray that they bowed the knee. You can do that without saying something out loud. You can do that in a state as long as your mind can work, whether your voice can or your eyes can or anything, there could be those moments where God's mercy reached someone in the last second. And I have some of that hope for some people's pain here. But that's why sharing Jesus with our loved ones is so important. Because the spiritual reality is a whole lot bigger deal than this physical world. So when we endure suffering in this world, knowing we have this inheritance from God gives us a handle to hold on to right? Something to hold on to. Even if my suffering continues until the day I die, that is not the end, but it's the end of my suffering. And so in a way, the more suffering we endure here, the more relief and joy and pleasure we will experience when that day is over and the inheritance is ours. And I have an example, and maybe it'll make sense for some of you, maybe not. But I thought about back in 1869, May 10th, after three really brutal years of hard labor, the Union Pacific and Central Pacific Railroads met. Transcontinental Railroad was finished. And in my research, I learned that Chinese immigrants did a lot of the work. There was a labor shortage, and they were able to draw a lot of Chinese immigrants to come over and make this their home and work on the railroad. They were the ones carving a path through the Sierra Nevada mountains. That was rough, rough work. A lot of people died. It was dangerous. It was deadly. They didn't pay them a whole lot. They, from my understanding, they got $26 a month to slave away on the Transcontinental Railroad. Today, you know, what's that worth today? About $500 to $800 a month. That's today. That's not a lot of money. Six 12-hour days a week. Now tell me this. Who do you think would experience greater joy at the completion of the Transcontinental Railroad? The Chinese immigrant who worked 3 years, saw friends die, suffered hurting, pain all over their body, or the politician who passed the deal to pay for it? Who's going to feel more relief and joy and whew when they drive that last stake into the tracks? I think it's a no-brainer, right? The immigrant is going to feel it. But we got to add another layer to this. This isn't actually what happened. But imagine if every person who labored for all those 3 years on the railroad were promised, you finish this work, you've got an early retirement. We will double your salary and keep paying you that for the rest of your life. How would that change that last, I'm done. I'm done. You feel that in your whole body. Can finally rest. Isn't our promised inheritance a little bit like that? As a follower of Jesus, the more suffering you endure in this world, the greater relief you will feel when your work here is finished. That is how it works. So as you face suffering along the journey, which we will, remember your inheritance. Remember the promise that's coming. So Peter reminds us of our inheritance, the very beginning of this letter, trying to support these people who are suffering. And then he says something different that's maybe a little perplexing. We've got to understand this. The first promise is eternal inheritance, right? And we get that. We understand that. The second promise is God's protection till we get there. What is that about? He's writing to people who are suffering and promising them God's protection. Right? Look at verse 5. We've got this inheritance kept in heaven for you who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. Shielded by God's power. What is he talking about? What is that? We need to understand this. This is important. What kind of protection are we talking about? Protection from danger and physical harm? No, that is not the protection he's talking about. The point of this letter is to encourage people who are suffering. And if God rescues us, protects us from all suffering, there's no point in having 1 Peter. We don't need it. God doesn't do that. Doesn't make a difference how strong your faith is. Your faith will not form a force field around you, deflecting all pain and suffering. It doesn't work that way. Jesus promised us in the Gospel of John, in this world, you will have suffering, trouble, pain, right? You will have trouble. He said, if they persecute me, they'll persecute you. These are promises we have. There's so much in the Bible about suffering. So we cannot take that verse, say, God has promised me protection. I'm going to be healed of this. God's going to take this away from me. We don't have that promise. Then what is God's shield for? What is this shield about? God's shield is our guarantee that no matter how bad the suffering may get here, He will bring us safely home. That's the shield. He's going to bring us safely home. By God's power, we are shielded from eternal death. Our inheritance cannot be stolen or lost. We can't give it away. It's ours. It connects to the inheritance. It doesn't connect with our physical pain. It connects to the inheritance. It is absolutely certain to all those who've been born again. God's shield is not a promise that God's going to protect our physical life. He's already promised we're going to suffer. The shield cannot protect our physical life because everybody's going to die. That's not doom and gloom. That's reality of life. Ethan was struggling with some kind of, he's got pain in his hip and different pains. And I told him, it's probably mortal. Within 100 years, he's going to be dead. It's true. We might not like to think about it, but we are all going to die. God's protection is not protection from this physical pain that we go through. It's just not. God's shield is for our soul. That's what it's for. If you've been born again, the physical world cannot rob you of the eternal rest or your eternal inheritance. Living hope will become a living reality. So are you born again? Are you born again? Suffering isn't attractive. Death is still scary. But with living hope through the resurrection of Jesus, suffering becomes more tolerable and death becomes less scary. That's what we have. God's shield is not going to protect us from suffering. But does His shield protect us from any suffering? Yeah, it does. His shield will protect us from some suffering because God hasn't withdrawn from us. And if you read 1 Peter, you see God's presence. He is with us. He doesn't leave us alone to writhe in agony in this physical world until finally we die and then we come into His presence and then He gives us all the good things. He's with us in our suffering. We know He's working some kind of good in it. We don't understand a lot of the time. But we are not separated from God's care. The fact that we suffer doesn't mean God doesn't care. The passage from Isaiah that we read earlier is still true for God's people today. What did He say? He said, when you pass through the waters, He is with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. God cares about the suffering we're facing. He cares a lot about it, and He's right there with us. So we don't put our hope on immediate deliverance. We set our hope on ultimate deliverance. 1 Peter 1:13 says, set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. That's where we want to set our hope. We can ask Him to deliver us from anything in this world. We can ask, and He might. But we set our hope fully on what's coming, not what's today. And I thought about my journey. My soul, my hope has not always been set fully on Jesus. It just hasn't. And take away the suffering aspect. I just remember back in college, I was training to be a pastor, and my grandfather told me something that he's planning to leave me as my inheritance. And he only said this one time, but man, it's the kind of thing you don't forget. He told me and my dad he's setting up a trust fund so that those serving in full-time ministry will be taken care of after he's gone. It's like, cool. I don't know what that means, but I thought he's pretty rich, so I mean, this is pretty cool. And so I put a little bit of my hope in that promise. And then he died suddenly before he set up the trust fund. I never saw a penny of that inheritance. Was I disappointed? Yeah. Yep. What happened to that? I don't know. I was disappointed because I put my hope there. That's not where my hope is supposed to be. That is not where my hope is supposed to be. Where are you placing your hope? In your pain, out of your pain. Man, too many times I've heard people talking about the lottery, something they hope in, right? I mean, you've heard people say, man, if I win the lottery, I'll never work another day in my life. That's empty hope. We hope in different things. We hope in smaller things. Don't hope in anything this side of heaven. I mean, there's a lot of people, they just hope in living the American dream and having their portfolio at a certain point when they retire so they can be comfortable, having certain things. We put our hope in this stuff. Don't do it. We've got a much better hope. Our hope has to be beyond the grave. Jesus' resurrection from the dead puts our hope past the grave. So, two promises we see in this passage: eternal inheritance in heaven, God's protection till we get there. We know the protection is for our soul, right? He's going to take us. He's going to keep the promise. He's going to deliver the goods. He is not going to forget the promise. He's not going to disqualify us from the promise. If we're born again, we're born again. We're listed in the will. It's ours. And both of these promises are anchored to Jesus, right? He's the way to that inheritance. And he is the protection. God's protection is found in Jesus. He is our living hope, right? We sang about it this morning. Jesus Christ, our living hope. Are you born again? Are you born again? Watching the live stream? Maybe you've never been to Cornerstone in your life. Are you born again? I can't tell you that the thousands of Chinese immigrants who risked their lives doing that dangerous work in the 1860s, can't tell you they were granted an early retirement. They weren't. They were underappreciated, underpaid. If my math and conversions are accurate, they made about $2 an hour. That's what they got in today's economy, and hundreds of them died on the job. That's not our situation, is it? That's not what our boss is like. We don't have a discriminatory boss. We don't have a greedy boss who's squeezing all the pennies for himself. That's not our boss. We work for a God who's gracious and merciful. He knows the job he's given us to do. He knows the path he's called us to take. He knows the pain he intends for us to endure. And he is with us in that pain. He's not a distant God. He's not a distant employer, a distant boss who doesn't step into the pain. He lived in the pain, and he lives in our pain. And he is eager to unveil the inheritance, right? Jesus went away to prepare a place for us. He's working on that. I don't know what that's like. 6 days to create the universe and 2,000 years to create eternity for us. Man, it's going to be pretty amazing. He is eager to give that to us. So bring that in to the pain you're dealing with. I thought about naming people that I know are facing hard things. I'm not going to do that. Some of you are facing a lot of stress and a lot of pain. It's been an exceptionally stressful week for me this week. Not all weeks are the same. Not every day is the same. Not every season is the same. And this week, there are a lot of things I would not have chosen to do if I didn't have living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. My purpose isn't to find the easiest path. That's not it. It's not to find the easiest job just to get by. It's not to make you happy enough that I can still be a pastor and get paid. No. 1 Corinthians 15:19. Paul said, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. The things we choose to do just don't make sense to people who don't have eternal hope. Why would you do that? Because our hope in Jesus goes beyond this life. Hold on to that hope. Let that be your handle. Your inheritance is coming. It's personally guaranteed by God, the ultimate promise keeper. He's not going to break down on that. But it's hard. The Christian journey is sometimes described as a race, right? And I'm not a runner, but cross-country runners know there are parts of races that are just stinking hard. Hills, you just want to throw up. Sometimes you do. You want to quit. Your body hurts everywhere. We are running up a steep spiritual hill. You are running up steep spiritual hills right now. It's hard. It hurts. Don't quit. The finish line is up ahead. We see what's coming. We know what's been promised. Faith in Jesus doesn't take away the hard parts of life, but it gives us help to face it. Now, our hope isn't limited to this present world. New birth gives access to another world altogether. So keep your eyes on Jesus. Our inheritance is coming. James 1:12. Blessed is the man or woman who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. We got to cling to these promises. You want something to look forward to? We got something to look forward to. Are you born again? The hill and come back down the other side. We will. In this life, there's lots of ups and downs. Cling to your hope. What's your next step? It depends on where you're at spiritually. If you're not born again, that's got to be your next step. You got to start there. Maybe you need to think about what your inheritance will be like. Read the last two chapters of the Bible. Maybe you got to commit your specific suffering to Jesus. Just say, Jesus, I give this to you. Help me see you in it, and by your grace, see me through it. Maybe you want to recommit to practicing Pi Squared. Pray, invest, invite, so your friends and family who don't yet have living hope may be born again. It's pretty important. So what's your next step? Take a minute to think about that. Pray. God, right now I just want to pray for anyone who's been listening or watching, who's here or somewhere else, who is not yet born again. God, that could be anybody. Lord, I pray that your Spirit will work in their heart in a powerful way to convince them that they're not yet in the kingdom of God and that Jesus died so they could be. Lord, give them the courage and the humility to turn to you in faith, that their eternity would be changed today. God, for those who are suffering with some intense difficulties and trials and heavy stuff, God, I pray that the hope that we have would be a handle to strengthen them to carry on, to keep going. Thank you for your promises. Help us to cling to what is true, that you are shielding us. You will take us safely home.
Give us strength to endure the trials that we face. And give us perspective that others can see our hope in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, we're going to sing. We could sing Living Hope again, but we're not going to. We're going to sing because the ultimate aim is that Christ is magnified. Whether it's in our pain, whether it's in triumph, tragedy, whatever it might be. So we want to join creation because creation reveals the glory of God. And we can do that with this song. So would you rise to your feet and sing the song with us?
Were creation suddenly articulate with a thousand tongues to lift one cry, then from north to south and east to west we'd hear Christ be magnified.
From the altar of my life, Christ be magnified in me.
Sing it, oh,
Christ be magnified, and let his praise arise. Christ be magnified in me.
Sing it,
oh, Christ be magnified. From the altar of my life, Christ be magnified.
Not always easy. We go through pain, but he can be magnified in that. Let that be your heart cry. That's what this next part is about.
I won't bow to idols. I'll stand strong and worship you. And if it puts me in the fire, I'll rejoice because you're there too. And I won't be formed by feelings, I'll hold fast to what is true. And if the cross brings transformation, then I'll be crucified with you. Cause death is just the doorway into resurrection life. And if I join you in your suffering, then I'll join you when you rise. And when you return in glory with all the angels and the saints, my heart will still be singing and my song will be the same. Oh, Christ be magnified and let his praise arise. Christ be magnified. altar of my life, Christ be magnified in me.
Singing,
oh, Christ be magnified,
and
let his praise arise. Christ be magnified in me. Oh, Christ be magnified from the altar of my life. Christ be magnified.
To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin. And he opened the life gates that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer, the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives.
Here we go.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Great things he has taught us, great things he has done, and great our rejoicing Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done.
Amen. God, we give you the glory. The static is applauding right now. God, we praise you. We praise you for your goodness. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Thank you.
Good morning. Just a few announcements before we move on to a time of fellowship. This week in home groups, the Herlin Junior, the group that meets at my house, if you come to that, don't come this week. I don't know what they're called anymore. The ladies group on Tuesday is going to be meeting. Thursday group, I'm assuming you're not because it's Thanksgiving. So you guys are probably done because there's no more November left after Thanksgiving. And if you're in a Tuesday night group, you will discuss if you're meeting on the 30th or not. Just a reminder that the Biblical Counseling Conference that we've chatted about a little bit, if you're interested in that at all, see P-Nate, Rick, Melissa to chat about that. Also, we're still taking collections for the Southeast Asia Pastors Motorcycle Fund. So if you're interested in giving to that, you can drop it in the box just with a note that that's what you're giving to. And finally, we have the Saucony Cross Christmas party that we put on for them every year is coming up on Saturday, December 11th. We do have a sign-up genius created now, and the link is typed out in the bulletin, but maybe that'll be emailed out this week. Are we planning to do that? Okay. So you can check that out. We're doing lasagna and a vegetable and some rolls. And so if you want to sign up to help bring food, you can do so on the Sign Up Genius. And we'll also need people to help set up and to serve and to clean up and lots of areas to serve for this party. And we've been doing it for a long time, and it's a lot of fun. So if you haven't ever helped out, jump in this year on the 11th. I think we start setting up around 3. Is that what we said? 4? 3? 3. Yeah. They are punctual. So we want to be ready for when they're coming for their dinner. If you have any questions, you can talk to me about that or Peanut or Ann too. Otherwise, have a lovely week. Downstairs, there's snacks if you want to go hang out and fellowship. And we'll see you next week. Also, happy Thanksgiving.